John chapter 20, starting at verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord Jesus, indeed, we want to see you. And so we pray that as we read about you in action, our eyes might indeed be opened to see you, to understand you, and to follow you. To the glory of your name. Amen. Well, as you sit down, perhaps you take the green Bible again and turn to page in the New Testament section at the back to page 111. That's John chapter 20. And you'll see on the newsletter today a little cartoon about taking notes. But if you want to take notes, then the notebooks are there and the pencils in the suit pockets in front of you and the outline of the sermon on the screen. I've spent much of this week talking to people about their response to the Lifesaver Festival. And it's clear that most people have been encouraged and helped. Many, and I would include myself here, have had our faith deepened and our eyes opened to the fact that there is much more about Jesus Christ to explore. Several have made resolutions to go further with Christ by joining a house group or a one-to-one Bible reading partnership, by enrolling on the Christianity Explored course, perhaps with a friend, or by starting to read the Bible daily at home. Others have not yet given their life to Christ, but have been moved on. Here is a typical example, is one man's comment on a card. "Great speaker, very thought-provoking. I'm still undecided, but will continue to come. Thanks." And some, including probably some here with us this morning, prayed the prayer of commitment to Jesus Christ, simply but clearly gave control of their life to him, and now for the first time are Christians. And that's why today we start a short series of sermons called Following Jesus. Following Jesus is a journey that lasts for the whole of our life on earth and leads to a glorious end, or really a new beginning, beyond this life. And starting to follow Jesus is also a journey with different stages along the way. I wonder what stage you are at. This first sermon in the series is called Recognizing Jesus. And we're going to look at the story of a woman, Mary Magdalene, who came to recognize and respond to Jesus. It was a journey of faith for her. And many of us go through the same stages in starting to follow Jesus that she went through. Stage one for her was sadness. And you see it most clearly in her words right at the bottom of the page at verse 13. They've taken away my Lord. Let me remind you what had happened. It's early on Sunday morning, just 2 days after Mary and some of her friends had seen Jesus' dead body laid in the tomb. And now, as verse 11 reminds us, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. It was bad enough that he'd been crucified, but now something worse had happened. The body has gone from the tomb. He's no longer there. And she can only conclude, perhaps the authorities have taken him away. So she meets two men in dazzling white and says to them halfway through verse 13, they've taken away my Lord and I don't know where they've laid him. Later she meets a man she thinks is a gardener. And turn over the page of the Bible, look what she says to him halfway through verse 15. Sir, she says, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. She wanted at least to care for him, to put the spices on his dead body, to see him after his death and touch him. But as she says with deep sadness, they've taken away my Lord. I think many of us have been through that stage. Perhaps some of you are at that stage at the moment. He's no longer there. He used to be. As a child, or perhaps later in your life, you were close to him. He meant a lot to you. But somehow you feel things outside your control have taken him away. Perhaps for you, others' skepticism has taken him. It may be books or articles you've read or TV programs you've seen. When I was a teenager, the book Honest to God destroyed many people's faith, though it was never meant to. One clergyman committed suicide as a result. When I was a student, an academic wrote a book arguing that the earliest Christianity was the worship of a sacred mushroom. And some people for a time believed him. In our day, Richard Dawkins has written The God Delusion. And despite the fact that countless scientists and academics in other realms have shown the flaws in his arguments, many people take him seriously. Or perhaps for you it's just been the constant drip, drip of others' lack of faith that has eventually had an effect on you. So that in your experience, he's no longer there. Or perhaps events in life have taken him from you. The early death of someone you were very close to, one of your parents, your child, a friend of yours, or the breakup of your marriage, or some other tragedy has buffeted your faith. There may be different reasons again, but I wonder if you are at that stage, sad like Mary because you have lost a closeness to Jesus that you can see in others. And like Mary, you're saying, they've taken Jesus from me. Well, perhaps you're at the second stage in this story, which I call a presence, Jesus standing there unknown. Look with me at the top of this new page at verses 14 and 15. When Mary had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" But she supposed him to be the gardener. So for Mary, she was there. He was there, but she mistook him. She may have realized somehow that there was a person standing behind her. So she turns around and sees him. She knows someone was there. But she doesn't realize that it's Jesus. And I think that's a very common stage for us to be in. Jesus is in fact there, but we're not sure. We are amazingly protected when we might have died. Or when we're in trouble, people tell us they're praying for us and things work out considerably better than we had expected. Or we can see something clearly different about committed Christians we know. Or we come to a place like this and it seems Jesus Christ is present in people's worship. But we're not sure. It might be Jesus, or it might be coincidence. It might be Jesus, or it might be a group of people who think Jesus is with them. And we don't feel ready to commit ourselves when we're not sure. That's where I was for about 2 years. A good friend of mine had become a Christian. I could see he was much happier and more at peace, but I wasn't sure whether he would have been like that anyway. I went to church with him towards the end of that time and could see Christianity meant a lot to the people in the church, but it still wasn't clear to me. It might have been Jesus living and active today, or it might not. And some of you are at that second stage, as I was, as Mary was. Or perhaps the festival has moved you on to the third stage. I call this recognition. At this stage, Jesus speaks, and in the story, Mary responds, "My teacher." It's the pivotal moment in the story, and it's told very simply in verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. She's brought to the point where she knows Jesus is speaking to her. It only needed one word, Mary. Her name, but said in that familiar voice, in the well-known tone, so that she was in no doubt anymore. She knows it's Jesus. And she responds to him also in one word. So important that it's preserved in the original Aramaic with which she said it. Rabuni, which means literally, my teacher. And we too may get to the point where we know he's speaking to us. Perhaps you felt that during the festival or at some other times recently. I remember just before I gave my life to Christ, being taken to one or two Christian meetings and to church and feeling that the speaker could have been speaking just to me. Not all the time, but sometimes it was very forceful. And the question then is, will we respond to him? Mary did. I'm so glad that I eventually did. And Mary's one word really sums up all the response we need to make. My teacher. It's saying from now on he will be my teacher, and I will be learning from Jesus. One of Catherine's friends who came to the festival said, I have my own beliefs, my own convictions, which I've worked out. Very 21st century. But that can no longer be our attitude once we've said to Jesus Christ, I want you to be my teacher. From now on, I can't pick and choose any longer what I want to believe. From now on, I'm committed to reading the Gospels. And once I've discovered what Jesus teaches about God or about heaven and hell or about honesty and sexual purity or about the meaning of his death or about what Scripture, the place of Scripture in God's teaching of us, I will accept what he says because he's become my teacher. And he is also my teacher. Because I'm not just saying I'm going to be a student of his, reading and thinking and discussing what he teaches, but rather at arm's length. No, from now on I belong to him. He is my teacher. I am his. We will become close. A relationship between us has begun. And I wonder if you've got to that stage of your journey as Mary had, recognizing Jesus and responding to him. And the fourth stage I call joy. Summed up in Mary's excited announcement, I've seen the Lord. Look with me at the last verses, verses 17 to 18. Jesus said to her, don't hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I've seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Jesus tells Mary not to cling to him. Instead, he tells her to go to those whom he calls in verse 17, my brothers. She's to tell them he won't be with them much longer because he's going back to his Father and theirs, to God. And Mary rushes off and tells the disciples, I've seen the Lord, before also passing on the message he's given her. So having been changed by Jesus, Mary tells members of Christ's family about it. She's not being told here to go out and tell those who are not yet Christians about her experience of the living Christ. That will come later. For now, Jesus tells her to go and share what she has experienced, what she has seen and heard with the people Jesus calls my brothers, who have the same heavenly Father as he, or in our terms, with other Christians. And that's the equivalent for us. It means telling other Christians, one or two or more other people who believe in Christ, who are already Christ's brothers and sisters, what has happened to us. This week we rang someone who had prayed the prayer of commitment at the festival with Chapa. Conversation went something like this. Did you pray the prayer at the end of the talk? Yes, I really did. Then you've become a Christian. Have you told anyone about it? No. Should I? It would be a real encouragement to you to tell a friend of yours. Then I'll do it right away. The man rang his brother and found that he had also become a Christian at about the same time, through a church in Somerset. You see why I call this stage joy? And I wonder if you've reached it on this initial part of the journey of following Christ. Not only responding to him, but telling another Christian what God has done in you. So what stage are you at? Where have you got to in the journey? And do you want to move on from the stage you've got to? Whether you're at the stages I've mentioned or at the fifth, sixth, ninth stage further on. In particular, I wonder if you are, though, at any of the four stages in this story. Stage one is sadness. And perhaps there is in you a wistfulness. You feel that somehow life, the passing of the years, disappointments, or sheer busyness has taken Christ from you. If so, the way to move on is to look for Jesus. That's what Jesus said to Mary. He asked, "Why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" He wanted her to look for him, to look at him. One person I know has started, since the festival, reading the Gospel of Mark. There are copies of one of the Gospels, actually the Gospel of Luke, on the welcome desk at the back of church today. And if you feel sad that you are out of touch with Christ, please take one and read it. Don't stay where you are, but move on to look, maybe to look again for Jesus. Or perhaps you're at stage two where you sense a presence. Sometimes you do become aware that God is working in your life, protecting you from harm, or answering a prayer, or somehow just there. If so, the way to move on is to recognize Jesus. This is not some vague, intangible God whom you will never be able to understand. This is Jesus. The same Jesus as in the Gospels, risen and alive today and calling to you as he called to Mary. It's a vital step. Not again to stay at that place of being aware of a vague presence, but to recognize Jesus drawing near to your life. But perhaps you've reached stage three. You have recognized him. You know he's calling you by name. You know he's waiting for your answer, for you to get off the fence, or as one person put it to me last week, to jump off the cliff and pull the parachute cord. Then the way to move on. And how tragic that there are many people in Crowborough, many people I know, who are at this third stage but do not move on, because the way to move on from there is to respond to Jesus. And you could do that in many ways, but one way would be to kneel down and say, "My teacher. I want you to be my teacher. I want to learn from you and to belong to you." And if you've passed that stage already, then for you has opened up the fourth stage, the stage of joy. You know Jesus, or are getting to know him. His friendship has become precious, or will become precious, in the weeks and months ahead. then the way to move on, and again, don't stay just into the kingdom. The way to move on is not to keep this to yourself, not simply like Mary to cling to Jesus, but to speak about him, to tell others, and at first specifically other members of Christ's family, other Christians, that he has met with you and you with him, that he has spoken to you and you've responded to him, that from now on you belong to him and he to you. It's an exciting journey following Jesus, a lifelong journey. The important thing for all of us here is to keep moving on with him. Let's pray. A moment for us to be silent, to think what stage we are at, whether any of these four or some further stage, and how with Christ we can move on in this journey of following him. Heavenly Father, we want to keep moving forward towards Jesus and then with Jesus. We thank you for the stages you've taken us through already. Each one of us at a different place in the journey. Each one of us either further on or a little further back in our journey with Christ. Our great request of you is that we will not get stuck at any stage, going round and round in circles and not moving forward, still less that we might slip back. No, Father, save us from that. And on the contrary, may we especially, as we enter this wonderful season of remembering Christ's coming, move on in our journey with him, seeing him more clearly, loving him more dearly, following him more nearly to his glory. Amen.